you don't need it and turn this on, you probably don't need it. And hopefully, I can do that, I don't know. Because the light is coming on, so I'm just gonna leave it as it is. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless you, and my daughter will call me right now. I'll tell you. Surely blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by greater, and an oath by confirmation is for them an end of all things, of all dispute. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled the refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That is Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. Now, I know some people, and I'm sure you too may know some people, or you may be a person who can create beautiful patterns, who can create beautiful tapestries like quilts and blankets and clothing. Those abilities are talents and gifts. If you have the ability to do such, you have a talent and a gift that can be learned and developed. I do not possess that talent. Okay? Let me be very clear. I do not. I have attempted and tried and failed. But I am reminded of God and how he instructed the children of Israel to make holy garments for the priests in Exodus chapter 28, verses 2 through 3. Now, I don't hope you don't mind if some of you are readers. Please turn your Bible to those passages, and I would like for you to share and help me to read these passages. The only thing that I ask you to do is that you read loud and clear. Loud and clear. So let's be reminded, Exodus chapter 28. And could someone read for me verses 2 and 3? Exodus 28, verses 2 and 3.
You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful persons who I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate them, that he may minister as priest to me.
As we discuss proper patterns for sound doctrine, I would like to ground our thoughts of patterns and artistry, talents or gifts. Patterns that God has blessed us with for glory and for beauty. Patterns that are associated with wise-hearted and those with the spirit of wisdom. In some ways, my sisters, when we together as priests, as one family, as one body, live out proper patterns of sound doctrine, we are, in essence, gifted artisans. We are, in essence, wise-hearted individuals. We are, in essence, those with a spirit of wisdom for glory and for beauty. Turn with me now to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Now, I appreciate those that have read these passages, but we are going to read them again. Nothing is better than repeat, okay? If any of you are parents or grandparents, that is your entire life story. Repeat. So Titus chapter 2, and we are going to start in verse 1, and I would like for someone to read again verses 1 through 5. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5.
But you speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be obedient, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed.
So let's begin by defining the word proper in verse 1. In the King James Version, that word proper can be also translated as become. Become. In the Greek, it is the word prepho, a verb that carries the idea of to tower up. In other words, it stands out. When you tower up something, it is something that is visible. It is clearly seen. It is something that is put on display, if you will. So become is clearly visible. By implication, it is translated as to be suitable or proper. No one is going to put on display or have visibly seen something that is improper, right? Hopefully. Lord willing. But that is the implication of this word. Now let's look at some other passages that have this word in it so that we can understand what it means. But I want to turn your pastor Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Now remember, we're looking at the word proper, and we're looking at how it is used in the Bible. So if someone could read for me 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and see if we can pull this word out of another context.
In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with great apparent, or gold, or apparel for costly array, but which becometh women, professing godliness with good works.
That word, becometh women, that which becometh women. Some translations will say that which is proper for women, professing godliness. Whatever you present, whatever stands out, whatever you tower up and make visibly seen needs to be suitable and proper for women that profess godliness with good works. No one wants to see a person to profess one thing and do another. No one wants to be a person that says one thing and does another. That is improper and that is not suitable. That which stands out and is clearly seen and needs to be suitable. Someone else did Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and read verses 3 and 4. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4.
With fornication and all uncleanness of covenant, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. You the filthiness, no foolish talking, no coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks.
That word fitting is translated with the same Greek word as become or proper. So that which is fitting for saints. It is not fitting, it is not suitable, it is not to be visibly seen for saints to be engaging in fornication, in uncleanness, or in covetousness. It is said for it not even to be named among you because it is not proper. It should not be visible in the life of a Christian saint. As becomes suitable, clearly seen for those who profess to be God's children. Lastly, someone read for me Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. When Jesus was baptized by adjourn.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered it.
That word becometh. Some translations use the word fitting. It was fitting for Jesus to fulfill all righteousness. Now, ladies, I am giving you these for a reason. Because we seem to live in a society that wants to mask certain things. They want to have us to believe that certain things are proper and fitting when they are not. When they are not. If you are taking notes, a few other passages for you to study on your own is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. Now let's go back to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And when we read verses 1 through 5, I want us to slow down and I want us to pay attention to some things. Oftentimes we read these passages and we believe that because we've read them so many times that we understand what it's saying. We clearly get it, right? I want us to slow down and I want us to revisit these passages so that we can see what deeper understanding we can walk away with, because we want to be proper, we want to be suitable. What we actually show to the world to visibly may seem, we want it to be according to godliness. Now, there is a purpose. There is a purpose and a greater understanding that Paul desires for us to have when he is conveying this message to a young preacher. He says in verse 1, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. I need for you to make this personal. Yes, Paul is writing to Titus, who is a young preacher, but he is also writing to us individually. What is it that you speak? What is it that you say? Are you the one that is engaging in speaking those things that are proper for sound doctrine? Yes, we look at the preacher and we hope that he's saying proper things, but now this is personal. This is about you. Do you speak the things that are proper for sound doctrine? It is one thing for us to say what God's word says, but now when you look at what you speak, I need for you to look at what you do. I need for you to look at how you live. I need for you to look at how you think. Because the Bible also teaches us that whatsoever is in a man's heart, that is what he will speak. Do not think that you have the ability to fool many people. You may be able to fool some people, but you're never able to fool God.
Amen.
And what is done in the dark shall come to the light. This is why it is important for us to look at ourselves with what we speak. Why? Because each and every Christian should be speaking those things which can be clearly, visibly seen as sound doctrine, sound teaching, sound instruction. My sisters and friends, to do this, we must know what sound doctrine is. We must know what the doctrine of Christ is, what the teachings and instructions of God are. We have to study diligently, most importantly, this is what gets me sometimes. It takes precious time to fully understand the Word of God. I am an advocate for daily reading. I really am. I am an advocate for those that want to take 5 minutes of their day in order to read the Bible every day. I encourage it. I think it is wonderful. But it is only a start. That is like you trying to make a quilt with using only an inch of material. Are you never going to get that quilt or blanket done if you only have an inch of material? Same manner, you are not going to always speak and live those things that pertain to sound doctrine if you are content with only doing a 5-minute reading of the Bible. It is going to take precious time. We will talk more about the soundness of the doctrine later in our discussion, but I want us to look at verses 2 through 5 of Titus chapter 2. This purpose for us speaking sound things, which are suitable for sound doctrine, is that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, and the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. When you look at society, and we even look at the transition of time, there was a time in which everyone in a community went to church somewhere. It may not have been the Church of Christ. It may not have been the church of the Bible. But society in itself, the community in itself, went to church, worshiped somewhere. There was a time in which most of your stores, whether it be restaurants or others, was closed on Sunday. Everything that had to do with secular money or secular retail was closed on Sunday. I remember as a kid driving to church, and I did not see people outside mowing their yards. It was a ghost town on Sunday morning because everyone was going to church. As I got older and was taking my family to church, I began to see people jogging on Sunday morning, mowing their yards on Sunday morning, retail places being open on Sunday morning, a lot more of the secular things being offered on Sunday morning. How did that occur? I believe that it occurred because we stopped speaking the things that pertain to sound doctrine. When you stop speaking these things, then there are older men that will not be sound in the faith. There are going to be older men that are not going to be temperate. They're not going to be reverent. They're not going to be sound in faith or in patience. Why? Because at some point, we stop speaking these things. The older women are not going to be what they need to be because there is no one speaking the things that pertain to sound doctrine. And when I say speaking, I am also talking about living it out so it can be visibly seen. What became more prevalent was that which was on the TV. What became more prevalent was that which was online. What became more prevalent was daycare workers taking care of children instead of mothers. More and more women had to work outside the home. More and more women had to go into a secular environment and leave the home to itself or for others to rear their children. More and more husbands were absent from their role as the head of the house because more and more women were being encouraged to take that role over because somehow they believed that they could do it better. I remember a commercial that used to say about, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan. Anybody ever remember that?
Yes.
Okay. We were trained to believe that we could do it better. We could do it all. And not only were we trained to believe that we can do it, we were encouraged to do it. We were encouraged to look more at the mistakes that men were making in the home and now degrade them and belittle them because we as women were empowered to do it better and greater than them. I don't mean man. And this, because that was what we were hearing, because that was what was being spoken, and I am not talking about just in the world, I am talking about in the church. I was raised to be a strong woman. Just in case he left you, if he leaves you, you need to have an education. You need to be able to take care of yourself. This is what was being spoken in the church. And as a result, people grew cold. People grew away from the things that are in the Word of God because we stopped speaking them and we stopped living them. And once the older are now embedded in society's way of thinking, they now begin to teach the younger the same. Once the older are ignorant, it is nothing but a great feat for the younger to be even more ignorant. And this is where we are. We stop seeing that the purpose for us speaking the things that are proper for sound doctrine is so that we can have a society of older people embedded in sound doctrine so that they can now in turn teach the younger sound doctrine, sound living. And now we see a society with less and less of these things. Less people that are sober. Less people that are reverent. Less people sound in faith. Less women that are obedient, discreet, and keepers at home. We have less of it because at some point we stopped speaking it. And yet here Paul reminds Titus, this young preacher, to do these things. In other words, my sisters and my friends, it ceased from being a pattern. It ceased from being the pattern of the church. It ceased from being the pattern of those who profess godliness. And it ceased from being that because it became difficult to do those things. The more people spoke about this, the more pushback was given to those people. Oh, so you can get that holy roller. Oh, you think you're perfect. Oh, you shouldn't be talking about that. Nobody can live up to those standards. Now all the truth that God has been displaying to Christians become diminished. It becomes ridiculed. It becomes a byword. You become the person that no one wants to be around because they cannot act worldly in front of you. Drinking become to be acceptable. It's just a little drink. It's just a social drink. There's nothing wrong with it. Those began to be the arguments and the things that the church began to focus on instead of speaking the things that pertain to sound living and to sound doctrine as Peter is talking about. This brings me now to Titus chapter 2 verses 6 through 10. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Someone read that for me, please. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 10.
Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame. Having nothing bad to say about us, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect.
When did it become okay for us to not encourage young men to be sober, to be sober-minded in all things, showing a pattern of good works? When did it become okay for young men to be berated, belittled, and put inside of a bedroom with a video game? These things occur because the older men have lost their way. When the older men now leave or abdicate their post, It is a matter of time for the younger men to do the same. Young men are only going to follow whatever example is in front of them. And they're either going to go in the same direction or the opposite direction. But remember, Paul is writing to Titus, a young preacher, and he is saying to them, encourage the young men. And he is not just saying encourage the young men, he's also saying encourage bondservants, encourage workers to be obedient at work. Go to work to work. Give your job what it is due. This is good. This is godliness. Do not go to play off, to slack off, to just get a paycheck for doing no work and nothing. This is what we are to encourage the younger to do. Encourage people not to steal. Pilfering, that's what that is. Stealing. You can steal in other ways other than robbing a bank. The mindset of stealing and thievery. To get something for nothing. When did we stop encouraging them to not do these things? Showing good faith. Not only, my sisters, in the things that we speak, but the things that we show. That is why it says showing. It has to be something we are doing. Are we teaching the younger by example? Teaching does not just occur with verbal words. This is not a do as I say, not as I do type of teaching. This also brings me to the fact of we're not perfect. Therefore, mistakes have been made. Own them and teach them. I can teach you a bunch of things to do by the good that I've done, but I can also teach you a bunch of things not to do by the mistakes that I've made. Older people need to not be afraid to share the mistakes that they've made and what they have learned from them. Instead of this, I'm so perfect, you just need to be like me. If God could just clone me, life would be great, right? No. I wouldn't say that about myself. All right? We need more exhortation. In other words, we need more encouragement. People can do it, but if you are just putting forth all of their wrong all the time, constantly putting them down because they can't get nothing right, what encouragement do they have to do what is good? If you are not speaking the things that are proper for sound doctrine, putting before them what should be done and what it takes to get it done, then I think that we are doing our young people a disservice. And it is no surprise that we live in a society where sound teaching is on the decline instead of on the incline. Look at verse 7 where it talks about showing. This Greek word means to hold near, to present, to exhibit, or to furnish. He is constantly telling this young preacher of the things in which he should exhibit, he should present, he should show forth. It carries the idea of what is to be given and offered. What is it that we give and offer the world? It should be sound teaching, sound living, sound doctrine, wholesome words. That's what it should be. As Christian women, in all things, we should offer and give ourselves to be a pattern of good works. The Greek word for pattern in this verse carries the idea of a dye. It is a mark, a scar. It is something to model or to fashion, like an imprint. If I am going to leave a pattern, it is going to be something that is imprinted in whatever it is I'm designing the pattern after. You're not going to be able to remove the mark or scar by scrubbing it. Okay? This is something that is embedded. This pattern is a model that should be impactful. It leaves a mark on everything that you extend it to. This impact, this stamp should be permanent, and it should be like a permanent dye. If I dye a garment a different color, I can't just wash it off. It's not like a temporary hair color, you know, that rinse.
Yeah.
It's not a rinse. This is a permanent dye, and that permanent dye should be good works. God did not make it difficult. He didn't make it hard. That permanent dye should be good works. Notice the Bible finishes verse 7 by saying, this mark, this pattern, this imprint of good works should be in. Now here it is, he's getting ready to tell us what it should be in. It should be in doctrine, which is teaching. What we teach, doctrine. Integrity, which is purity of the doctrine. Reverence, which is respect and honesty. Even if I am teaching something to someone that disagrees with me, I will not disrespect them. I will be honest if I am wrong. Those things are important. Incorruptibility, which means sincerity and genuineness. I am not doing this just to one-up you. I am not doing this just to show myself to be someone better than you. This is in sincerity and in genuineness, according to God. Ladies, do we pay attention to this? So, I have a friend, his name is AI, and so I asked AI a question, and this is what my friend AI said. It takes an average of 66 days to form a habit. Not the 30 days that we've been told a lot of times. You know how we said 30 days for? No. AI says it's 66 days. But this can range significantly from 18 to 254 days, depending upon the individual, the complexity of the behavior, and the consistency of practice. We need to let go of this 30-day habit forming. Especially if it's something complex. Okay? An average of 66 days, and then 18 to 254, depending upon your individual personality, the complexity of what you're trying to behavior. And listen, the lifestyle of good works is going to take my lifetime. Okay? I don't care how much Bible I study. If I follow the example of Jesus when he said, if they smack you on the cheek, turn to them the other cheek. I think this will take the entire 254 days for me to get into the habit. And I am joking, but I'm just saying there are some things that are complex. And we have to understand that these are complex habits. And we cannot diminish them and minimize them and thinking, oh, I just read that once or twice, I got it. Okay. We have work to do. We have work to do. I need encouragement. You need encouragement. We need to stop acting like we got Satan beat and we lived him. And therefore, since it was so easy for me to lick Satan, it should be easy for you. It doesn't work like that. Going back to Titus 2, drop down to verse number 11 through the end of the chapter. So can someone read for me verse 11 to, I think the last verse is 15. Is it 11 through 15? Can you read that for me, please?
For the grace of God has bring the salvation of appearance to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee.
Ladies, this is probably one of my favorite passages in Scripture because it gives me such great hope. It is hope in knowing that there is a favor, there is a grace from God, our Creator, that brings salvation. Sin does not have to condemn me. Satan does not have to control me. I don't have to go to hell because I have transgressed God's law. I don't know about you, that brings hope. There is redemption. So I don't have to be downtrodden and saddened because I have sinned against God. I have a remedy. There is a way for me to overcome it. That is such great hope for me. And that hope that I can be taught to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, I can be taught how to come out of sin that condemns me, I can be shown and form a pattern that allows me to live a life that is sound in teaching, a hope to follow, a pattern that I can live soberly and righteously in the age in which I live, a blessed hope that our Lord and Savior will appear again to redeem all those who trust in this hope. I believe it. Why am I so sure of this hope? Why am I pleading with you today to be sure of this hope? The answer is simple. It is the most proper, sound doctrine and sound teaching and sound words that we have that keeps the soul. It is steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Isn't that a song we sing? Fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. As I close, turn with me to Titus chapter 1. I want us to notice something that was said in the previous chapter before Titus 2. Titus chapter 1. And someone read for me verses 1 and 2. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, through His Son, through His Spirit, wrote through Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledgement of the truth, with a force to godliness. Now here it is, sisters, I really need for us to pay attention to this point. Here it is. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. At the beginning of this lesson, I read Hebrews chapter 6. Whenever we talk about sound doctrine, whenever we talk about anything that is a pattern, what makes it so sound? What makes these teachings so true? What makes these things so concrete and sure? It is because God cannot lie. And God gave me a promise. He gave you a promise. And my question is, do you believe in the promises of God? If you believe in the promises of God, you will speak those things that He has told you to speak. You will do those things that He has told you to do. And you will know that when He gave that promise to Abraham in Hebrews chapter 6, he could swear by no greater thing than his own self. It is impossible for God to lie. And because of this, we have strong consolation. That means we have strong comfort who has fled the refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Trust in that hope. When the world wants to berate you for trying to do what God says, when it is not according to the patterns of this world and you stand out visibly as one who is trying to live godly, soberly, and righteously, do not be afraid of the world. Do not be afraid of their threatenings. Speak those things which are sound and proper. Live those things. Encourage those things. rebuke those things that are ungodly in others that are around you. Why? Because we need our older men to be reverent, to be sober-minded, to be strong in faith and in doctrine and integrity. We need our older women to be strong in these areas that we can teach the younger women and encourage them that they can do what God says and come out and live godly in the present age in which they live. It is up to us to continue to speak these things, because when we are silent, my sisters, guess what happens? The world goes closer and closer to Satan's grasp, and we now begin to sink into an abyss of where even our older is teaching our younger those things that are not sound in faith, not sound in doctrine. I encourage us, sound in faith, sound in doctrine is strong, and it's needed for each and every one of us, my sisters and my friends, because God's promises are sure and true, and it would behoove us to walk in that pattern of sound doctrine and teaching, because it is impossible for God to lie. Thank you and God bless.